Welcome, everyone, to episode 230 of After the Credits. I am one of your hosts, Marina Antunes, joined today by the team.
Did you just say episode 230?
Yes, I did.
Yes. Add another 100 to that, Marina.
Well, 330?
330.
Yeah, oh, shoot. Okay, there you go. Yeah.
It's three something. I know that.
It's 330.
Because I know we had the Stone Cold episode a while ago, the 360.
Oh, guys, sorry. So it's 330, I think.
Look it up.
I don't know. I looked it up. I clearly wrote it down wrong. Now the browser's closed. It's too late to go back now. Let's just go with it. Marina.
Give me
joined by the team.
Give me 2 seconds. Holy shit. It actually is 3:30.
Oh, yeah. See? Okay. I was 100 off, but you know. And I'm joined today by the rest of the team.
Steve Stebbing.
Bill Harris.
And Melissa McDowell.
And hello, team.
Hello.
We're actually keeping that intro. All right, cool.
Well, listen, why not? We're just going to go with the punches.
We'll run through on cement shoes. That's fine.
That's fine. It is what it is. Listen, I was just saying, it's Sunday night, like 7:30 p.m. It's been a week. It's been a weekend. We've seen movies.
Have we ever?
I haven't seen that many. Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
And I, for the record, if we rewind to the last episode, I was like, do we have to watch a movie? Because none of the choices were appealing.
No. And with good reason. But since then, I've seen Heretic and I fucking loved it. So there's that.
There's that. There's winning at that.
Yeah. And maybe I'll bring it up again later, but how good Chloe East is in this movie has been very undersold. She has the biggest dynamic arc of the entire film and fucking owns it every second of it. So love Chloe East. But Sophie Thatcher is obviously a movie star.
Yeah, I think they both are.
Yeah, I think so very much too. I love the roller coaster that Chloe East is on, both as a human being and as a spiritual person. Like it's fucking fascinating. So yeah, bravo to that movie. Definitely one of my favorites this year.
I think it's been like 2 weeks, so maybe we can revisit the ending of that movie.
Sure.
After the pick of the week, which is Gladiator 2.
So, sort of like, is it actually the pick of the week? Like,
well, it was
what we opted for.
It was by default.
It sounded like the least egregious of the bunch. Well,
hey, listen, you watched this piece of crap so that we could tell other people not to.
This is the PSA. Yeah,
exactly.
This is the PSA. Well, just so for full disclosure, and to connect the episodes together, what was wanted was a real pain. That's what was wanted to be the episode, but I don't get the luxury that you guys get, and Bill included in this one too, because Victoria gets some shit. So yeah, we went with the most accessible one, and someone needs to stop Ridley.
Was I the only one that saw a real pain?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
So I will say this to preface this. So the marketing powers that be tried to make a thing out of the fact that Wicked and Gladiator 2 were coming out on the same day this week. And it was a total disaster. Like, you can't force this shit. It either happens or it doesn't. Mm. I tend not to go to movies on the weekends. And now I remember why. It was a clusterfuck. Like, I have never seen a movie theater this busy since before the pandemic. Like, quite honestly, not even at a film festival. It was nuts. Like, nuts. I tried to buy a ticket because I didn't have time to see it earlier. So we went this morning, early afternoon. I tried to buy a ticket on Friday and all of the screenings were almost sold out. It was almost impossible to get two seats together. So we did. But we walked into the theater at literally 11:45 in the morning and the lineup for the concession was a mile long. I'm like, what is happening? And then we came out at, like, I don't know, 1:30. And I have never seen a theater lobby that busy in my life. It was stupidity.
That's That's good, actually. Like, I'm actually happy to hear that.
This was the only redeeming factor, is the fact that people are willing to go to the movies. I just wish the offerings were better. But clearly the marketing people know what they're doing, because they got people out to see movies. And like, our screening of Gladiator 2 was completely sold out at 12:10 in the afternoon on a Sunday. The screening before that sold out. The screening after that was sold out. So people went to the movies. I just wish the movie was better. What I don't know is if people liked it or not. Because pretty much the lights went up and everybody just laughed. Like, we always stay through the credits because Marina has a thing about credits. But I mean, I don't know if anybody enjoyed it, if anybody didn't like it. I mean, nobody left in the middle. There wasn't a lot of chatter, which I was really happy about. But I don't know how anybody felt about it. I know how Dan felt about it.
Well, just to put it in perspective, I believe the audience score was like around an 80 or something on Rotten Tomatoes when I saw it, when I went into the movie.
This does not surprise me.
And the it was certified fresh at a 72. Now the audience score is an 84 and it's a 71 certified fresh. And to put it even more in perspective, Ridley's last film, Napoleon, is a 58% rotten, and I thought that both movies were on par with each other, to be honest.
Which makes sense, because they're written by the same guy.
Yeah, who Ridley needs to stop fucking working with.
Listen, Ridley Scott didn't write this movie. Fucking ChatGPT wrote this movie. Let's be clear. This movie was not written by a human being. This is absolutely an example of the shittiness of AI in the arts.
Okay,
like, they just fed a bunch of shit from the first movie in, and this is what popped out the other side. And it's egregious. The script is egregious.
So, but ChatGPT came up with the delivery politics.
Do we know for a fact that AI wrote this thing? Because I don't think it did. I think Scarpa just is not a very good writer, period.
Yeah, that's,
I mean, I, Napoleon I, was problematic. This is problematic. I mean, the whole thing is just misguided. I mean, the fact that it started badly. Like, it started by somebody going, I think we can make more money by doing a sequel to something that was really popular in the 90s. What can we make a sequel to? Look, there's a little thread that we can pick from Gladiator. Let's do that. Like, that was the first bad decision. Mm. I mean, if creatively speaking, that was the first bad decision. It's really poorly written. I mean, you can never, I wanted to rewatch Gladiator leading up to this, and I didn't, because I'm like, was it really as good as I remember? Now I don't know. I can't
it's
say.
Not.
It's also not. Like, I rewatched it the day before I went to see Gladiator 2.
Feeling. That was my knee jerk. But I mean, the thing going into this, and I mean, Paul Mescal is so good, and so is Pedro Pascal. They're both, and so is, let's be honest, so
is the Denzel cast Washington. Is great.
Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic cast of characters. Yeah. And like that delivery. That is actually pretty amazing. Yeah. Like, he makes shit sound great. But I mean, there are scenes in this where Paul Mescal is expect, like, you just know he is supposed to deliver some grandiose thing that's supposed to like empower everybody. You're never going to get that done, like, ever, period. Like, when was the last time we heard like a really, really great speech about, you know, rallying the troops? I don't remember.
And there's Spartacus. There's five attempts
and they're all bad
to do that. And there's even a Spartacus moment.
Yeah.
And they're all bad. Like, everyone is worse than the other. Mm. And I mean, the first one, and I was actually, I wouldn't say on board, but I was okay with the movie for the first 20 minutes until they get to Rome, basically. Mm. And then the whole thing is just like, okay, it's just this for the next 2 hours.
A really disappointing notion at the head of this is that Paul Mescal is going to take all of this on his shoulders. Probably. More than Ridley, more than anything else. People are going to be like, Paul Mescal is in that shitty fucking Gladiator movie. But I mean,
clearly nobody thinks it's shitty. The thing is sitting fresh, which it shouldn't be. It's really, fucking wild. It's really bad. Yeah. And people are actually liking it. So
Wasn't there an action sequence that was touted as like one of the craziest, biggest action sequences that has ever been done? I had waited the entire film to see something that I hadn't seen before, and literally there was nothing. And it's all hollow because they can't write a character for you to root for or care about for the fucking life of them. Yeah. So who gives a fuck? Between both this and Napoleon, Vanessa Kirby was the only character that you could care about at all. And that wasn't because of the writing. That was because of the fact that it was fucking Vanessa Kirby. This movie is fucking rough. It's funny, yeah, too, because I went with a friend of mine, and when the credits came up, he was like, "Oh, so what did you think?" And I'm like, I was like, "Uh-oh, like, oh no, you know, like, am I going to alienate my buddy or like what?" And I was like, I don't think I liked it. And he went, "Puff. Thank God. Okay, yeah, I didn't like it either." I was like, everybody's holding their breath. Such a big like breath of relief, you know. And this is the same friend that I went and saw like Borderlands with and stuff. So we've seen some bad shit this year, but this wasn't to the level of bad, I would say, of like something like Borderlands, but it just was not good in any inkling. And I mean, even our finale, we've established Lucius to be this incredible warrior that has gone through like just insane things. I mean, the motherfucker fought sharks incredulously. but he gets into a fight with 75-year-old Denzel, and Denzel's fucking holding his own. Like,
yeah,
Ridley had no intention of doing anything historical or anything that's following any line, and decided to hit the full throttle into fantasy, and it's fucking garbage.
Yeah. You know, and the thing is, the weird thing is that it's actually not a bad movie. Like, there were a few directors that can actually shoot action sequences and fight sequences in a way that you can actually follow what's happening. And he is one of them. Like, he is jumping around from scene to scene and character to character, and you actually follow what's happening. It's just not interesting. Like, mm-hmm. Visually, like technically, it's impressive, but it's just kind of there on screen. It doesn't have any meaning or any emotion behind it. And that's disappointing. And then on top of it all, it was going to be awesome enough to have the Colosseum full of fucking water. Why did you have to add really bad digital sharks?
I don't even understand that scene. I don't even understand having a naval fight in the middle of this fucking stupid ass fucking movie. Like,
it was a thing.
It's baffling.
Apparently, it was a thing. Like, the staged naval battles as entertainment was a thing. There's a lot of discrepancy in the historical record about whether that ever actually fucking happened in the Colosseum.
Yeah.
There's no archaeological evidence that suggests that it ever happened in the Colosseum.
Even so, the sharks, why?
But yeah, even if you were going to go there, but why
bother? Leave out the sharks.
They went overboard with CGI animals altogether in this film. Like, all even the monkeys. The monkeys were horrible.
Oh my God. Horrible. That scene was horrendously
terrible. Were they monkeys
terrible.
Or dogs or
baboons or I don't think they exactly existed.
No,
they were like,
I don't think they did either. And like, so that's how we find out he's a great warrior, because he bites a monkey back.
It's just horrible.
Like, it's just the whole film is so ludicrous. Every single thing that happened, I was like, are you serious right now? Like, Marina, I sat through the whole credits too, because I was convinced there was going to be like some big like haha gotcha at the end of it, because I could not believe that they seriously put this fucking movie out. It was just, this is one of the worst things I've ever seen. I do not understand. I don't know how any of the cast are actually promoting this. Like, I feel like they all signed their contracts and took their paychecks and cashed those checks before they ever saw a fucking script, because there's no way you could have read this garbage and then wanted to sign on to it. Like, I just don't see it.
It's just got to be part of Denzel's farewell tour. Like,
he doesn't care anymore.
Well, and no. He just signed on for Equalizer 4 and 5.
Yeah, he doesn't care anymore. It's like, pay me.
This is padding. Yeah, this is padding the accounts here. And even the film's look, like, I know John Matheson did the original Gladiator in 2000. But I mean, the one thing that Napoleon had going for it was its look. And that's Darius Wolski. And like, I feel like this movie should have used Darius's work more, because Mathis is boring. Like, just a lot of his shots are super fucking boring and static in this movie. And it's just, there's just nothing about, like, I was borderline bored in this film. Like, I felt like my buddy was like, I was falling asleep.
The guy beside me was younger kid. He was like, he slept through the whole, like, half of it.
It's just, yeah, it's hilarious. It's just not interesting.
That's at all. That is, I think, my main takeaway from the film is just what Steve just said. The film is just really boring.
Yeah.
And my other really big hot take is I didn't think Denzel's that good. Every time he talks, he steals everybody. He's like a black hole. He steals everybody. He steals the room.
Everybody. And it's especially, like, even worse, he steals the thunder of the two Emperor actors every time, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those are, like, up-and-coming dudes. Joseph Quinn and Fred Hershinger are, like, up-and-coming dudes. And he just squashes them every time he's on screen with them.
Yeah.
And even fucking Paul Mescal, he just douses him every time. That scene in the sauna, the little bath area, yeah, he just fucking crushes Paul Mescal, like, just badly. Like, grinds him into the stone and walks away. And then at the end of that scene, they had no exit for that scene because he gets accompanied down to have this talk after the battle, has literally a 2-minute scene, and then walks away. And I was like, the fuck?
Oh, it's just such a mess.
So yeah, the ending doesn't work.
None of it works.
No, it doesn't. Works. I agree. Like, I don't think it's worth it.
I mean, I don't think it's a huge spoiler to say this because I knew this going in that he was supposed to be Lucius. I knew that was supposed to be it. And I was like, oh, how are they going to get there? Like, how are they going to turn this kid who was supposed to be like the heir to the throne into a gladiator? Like, well, how are they going to do this? And it ends up being the dumbest, most convoluted fucking plot ever. Mm-hmm. But like, this whole film just, it made me so angry. It's just such a clear cash grab. There's nothing here in terms of story. There's nothing here in terms of like I was trying to think of, based on the first film, like, there's sequences that set Maximus up as a leader. They never do that with Mescal. And you're just kind of like, why is anybody interested in following this guy? Yeah, like, why would anybody be cheering for him? Why would anyone follow him? Like, why would any of his fellow slaves even follow him in battle? Like, none of it makes any sense whatsoever. He has zero leadership qualifications.
He doesn't earn any of it.
No.
No, they insert it with nods to Maximus. That's how they build it on the backs of nostalgia for Maximus, the gravel thing. They do it immediately with the fucking grain, the first shot in the movie. They're immediately tying him to Russell Crowe and trying to use Russell Crowe's charisma from 2000 to build Mescal. So he doesn't build his own organically in any sense of form. Even any of his pump up talks, they're all Maximus things. It's all unused shit from 2000.
What was that bullshit animated sequence in the opening credits, by the
fucking
way?
Fucking horrendous.
It's recap time.
I'm like, this is a few seconds off of being fucking an AI, secret invasion animation.
I mean, I agree it was badly used, but it's beautiful. Like, technically, it's super impressive.
Well, you do know this film cost $300 million to make.
And sadly, it's going to make it all
It
made $55 million this weekend.
Oh, I thought it made more. Oh, okay.
No, Wicked made 100 and something, but Gladiator only made Wicked 55.
So, is Incendo the owner of Paramount now? Why does that card appear first in these big movies now?
I don't know.
It's so weird. I always expect the big studio card before some random, like, what the fuck is Incendo? So, I noticed that in a bunch of Paramount movies, so I was just confused.
I mean, I'm thrilled that people are going to the movies. Mm. I wish the movies were better.
Marina, you have to embrace Glicked.
No, yeah. I refuse. I just refuse. I plain refuse. You know what gets me more upset than anything else about this whole thing, and just this year in general, is you have these directors who probably should have stopped making movies a number of years ago because they're clearly past their prime. they should be using their cachet to support voices that actually need to be heard. We did not need a Ridley Scott Gladiator 2 movie.
No.
We needed him to be mentoring some new up-and-coming young talent, either somebody of color or a woman or...
He's never going to do that.
Bro. No. But like, this is the problem. Like, Hollywood needs to get over... And they don't. They won't. As long as they keep making money, they don't care. And it's infuriating.
And Ridley's passively aggressively making movies now.
At this point, he just
look at the last four films he did: Last Duel, House of Gucci, Napoleon, Gladiator 2. They all feel super fucking passive aggressive.
Well, yeah, he just clearly hates his audiences. He hates his audience and he thinks we're stupid.
Mm-hmm. And I contest that I liked Last Duel, but it's not the movie that people wanted.
No. No,
I 100% did not want that movie. And I mean, the box office return kind of shows that. Yeah. But Ridley is a fucking dick. Like, he is a fucking dick. And he thinks he's earned it because he's Sir Ridley. But arguably, for one of these great directors that people hold on a pedestal, he arguably only has a handful of good films, in my opinion.
Yeah, I could go with that 100%.
Also, Gladiator beat Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon for the Best Picture Oscar. Mm-hmm. Another reason why I say fuck the Oscars.
Well, and the Oscars were nowhere close to ready for that, because how long? It was 20 years until Parasite. So
yeah,
they were never ready, and they weren't even ready for Parasite when they awarded it. So
no. So
they're so far behind.
Clearly, we are against the grain here. We say no go on.
No. And not even for the theater experience. Not even for the big screen experience. Like, just not worth it.
Do not waste your money. Don't buy into the bullshit marketing campaign.
Yeah. Just go to Anora instead.
I'll second that.
Anything. Go to anything that is not this movie.
Hey, go see Terrifier 3 if it's still in the theater.
Oh, maybe not.
Mercifully, I think it's gone now. So it's on Blu-ray in 2 weeks.
Listen to me. So. Come on.
Okay, do listen to Bill, just not this time.
Yeah.
No Terrifier 3, please. And I haven't even seen that. So
no, I don't have any interest. All these other, like the Mickey Mouse one, the Steamboat Willie one they're doing. There was a Popeye trailer the other day. All these bastardized IPs being made into horror movies. Don't give a fuck. I just really don't care. Winnie the Pooh, all of them. Don't care.
I'm with you. I do not care less.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think you guys have seen movies. What other movies have you guys seen that isn't Gladiator?
I can roll. Through the IFC screeners, I got to see Memoir of a Snail, guys.
Yay!
Did you cry?
Oh, I cried so many times in this movie, especially when they reconnect at the end. That moment, like, both the wife and I felt like both of us together, like, just did this hard gulp.
And tell me Pinky is not the greatest character ever.
So great. So great. And I've already loved Jackie Weaver, so that was simple. Sarah Snook and Cody Smith McPhee, though, holy crap, full frontal nudity on a stop animation. Wow. That's different for sure. But yeah, a really definitely a personal feeling story from Adam Elliott. And this won the BFI best film, didn't it? Like, it did. This took a big prize, very deserving. Just a poignant look at like loneliness, connection, lack of connection, hoarding and the energy it can give you. It's got a lot of plates spinning, and I really dug that.
Marina, wasn't that your number one of the mid-year?
Yeah, it's fitting. It's fitting. Yeah. It's a really, 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 really good film. Of the films that I going to be talking about, animation was certainly high up on the list. I watched my 4K of The Lady from Shanghai. I'd never seen it before. Orson Welles, like some classic film noir with Rita Hayworth, largely like a kind of a court procedural for a lot of it. But I feel like I'm doing a lot of catch up with Orson Welles and stuff that I'd never seen. So it was cool that I received that one.
Have you seen F for Fake?
I own it. I have the Criterion.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, that one's really, so really good. Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah.
I rewatched Ghost Rider, the Polanski movie with Ewan McGregor. Ewan's really good in that movie. He's like really, really, really fucking good. And I love the ending. The ending is just, is the way they do it is so brilliant. I don't want to celebrate Polanski any more than that. Just saying that on a second viewing, I think I liked it more than I did the first time. I finally caught up with Saturday Night, and this movie is vying to be my number one film of the year. I don't think I've had more fun with a movie than I did with this film. Every beat in this movie is fantastic. Like, every beat is great. I don't think you're going to see a better ensemble cast this year. I don't think you're going to be better. See a better historically told film just through the character work. Like, it's just, it's so brilliant. Like, you don't even see Matthew Reese's face the first time you hear Carlin, but you're like, holy fuck, that's Carlin. Like, there's just stuff of this film is just incredible. Gabriel LaBelle, it has such a future on him. Andrew Barth Feldman, the drug sequence where he takes the hit of the joint is one of my favorite scenes of the year. This might be my favorite script of the year. I think it's just like popcorn. It's just, it's so delicious. That Milton Berle scene where he brings himself out. It's incredible. Incredible.
Like, brings himself out. What a lovely euphemism that is.
Yeah. 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 Well, I mean, It seriously is his another arm.
Oh man, Marina's loading her gun.
I'm not loading my gun. I was so underwhelmed by this movie. Everybody hyped it up. I was just so bored.
I also have such a kick because I own season one. I always own the first three seasons of Saturday Night Live on DVD and have watched them multiple times. And I know that first episode like the back of my hand. So this holds such connection to me. They are unmercifully mean to Jim Henson, and I didn't like the execution of that. But Nicholas Braun doing both hit that and Andy Kaufman is just pure brilliance. I've never noticed the Philip Seymour in his son more than I noticed it in this film.
Agreed.
Cooper Hoffman is great.
I really felt like this is for fans only.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get into it. Like, technically, it's really, really well made. Like, those long shots are super impressive. The camera is really kinetic. And you actually, like, feel the pressure of the time ticking. Like, without even, like, the clock countdown, you can tell, okay, we're almost at time. We're almost at time. Like, that is so poignant. Yeah. So I appreciate that. I can't tell you how bored I was the entire time. I'm just like, is this almost over? How much longer is left? Oh my God. None of it really worked for me. The acting was fine. I was so disconnected from the whole thing. I just didn't care for it. Dan liked it a little bit more than I did because he was like, oh my God, it's Andy Kaufman. And I was just like,
Had you watched a lot of the early Saturday Night Live?
No,
though, Marina? Yeah. See, that's it.
This is what I mean. Right. It's for
this
the
movie
fans.
Is like, only for the fans. That yeah. like I think that is absolutely true.
Like, yeah, even like small things, like they're Lorraine Newman. I was like, oh come on. Like Emily, I forget what her name is. I've never seen her in anything before. Emily something. She was just so fucking good. Or they're Jane Curtin. Michael O'Donohue, who is just like a fucking nightmare. And like conceivably and knowingly so, Michael O'Donohue was a fucking nightmare and led to them getting so many fines by the FCC and everything. Like he was like bad for business. Tom Davis and Al Franken, like there's just like little aspects that I knew. The way they handled the Billy Crystal thing was what I thought was really kind of almost exactly how you know it to have happened. Like there's just certain things that I really loved, especially being kind of like in my head, my own little Saturday Night Live historian. So I loved it.
Did you hear that? Ironically, the where Reitman got the script from that first night, that first night script was actually from Billy Crystal. He was the only one that still had the night one script left.
That's so great. I love how they're fighting over minutes. Like that, it's just like the little things in this film that I just, this is so great. Cause I mean, this is all their big break, right? Or like Chevy Chase is already like, no, he's already counting his steps to get out of it. Like, and it's just also true. I watched My Old Ass and really, really, really liked it.
Thank you. I'm so happy. I love
Maisie Stella. Maisie Stella is a fucking star. She has such a bright future. I love the queer positiveness of this story. The cascading of, oh no, I think I know what this is, what the mystery is to this. And then when you find out, you're like, fuck, it is that. And it just still hits hard. The last scene in the movie is beautiful, just beautiful, beautiful stuff. And Megan Park rocks. Like I would really like to see more from her because I think she's great. Speaking of destruction on a catastrophic level, I watched Ghostlight.
Yes.
Holy crap.
Heartbreak.
This movie is so goddamn special. And I didn't know until after I'd watched it, but I was predestined to like this one, I think, because I loved St. Francis as well, like so, so, so much. But this one is such a, this one's almost head and shoulders above St. Francis in quality. Cause this movie rocks. This movie rocks. It's one of those ones that I feel like I'm going to, like, as soon as there's like a streaming home for it, I'm going to tell everybody to watch it and be like, just don't watch anything about it. Just fucking watch it and let this story flow on you. His naivete about Romeo and Juliet and how it plays into his reality is so sledgehammer hard. Like it's, this movie is special. There's not many films like this one. And it really got me. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's see. Heretic, I already talked about it.
Okay, so can we talk about the end of Heretic?
Yes, yes, we can.
So, is she dead or is she not dead?
Well, the whole butterfly thing, right?
She's in the Matrix.
Yeah.
It's his religion, right? It's like it's all the simulation. That's why she sees the butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. That was my take. Was that he was actually right.
She made it in her own mind. She made her belief in her own mind.
Yeah. I couldn't figure it out. I still don't really know. I kind of feel like I need to rewatch the movie.
The whole thing, the Hollies to Radiohead to Lana Del Rey was just fucking chef's kiss stuff.
I know. I remember last episode I told you there was a music thing you totally did.
Dug the fuck out of that. As a music nerd, I was all about that stuff because I know all about those lawsuits. So it's really like,
but I mean, there's a lot of stuff that
correlate it to religion.
Yeah.
And each book is just like, oh, come on. It's not so good.
Well, and the whole thing with the board games, like all of it is.
Especially like Monopoly, like the bastardized version. And then it's your Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a different flavor.
Yeah.
So great. Yeah, I really like it. I think it's one of my favorites of the year for sure. I rewatched Fincher's version of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo because I got the Blu-ray a while back and hadn't watched it. It's such a crime that we never got the next two films. It's a fucking crime because I don't know. I really like Daniel Craig as in this film, and Rooney Mara fucking rules.
Fincher's pretty good too.
Fincher's fucking not bad. Amazing. that Fincher Cronin, it's like it's all of that set. It's like the cast, but then Fincher, Cronenweth. And then that pulsing fucking Reznor and Ross score. It's like, give me more of that. Just give me more.
You remember the first time you saw that trailer?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We're in for a treat.
Absolutely. And I don't even care that it's in Sweden. Everyone's just speaking English with accents. Like, I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit how Americanized they made it. It's part of Fincher's greatest vision, like he just in his execution of it. So I really loved it. I finally got to watch The Wild Robot, and that movie wrecked me again and 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 again. Oh my god! The end when Bright Bill calls her mom, I was just like, I was like a fucking water balloon. It's just
Dan and I were like literally, I was trying very hard not to like cry out loud because the girls were sitting next to us and they're just like flat faced.
I'm
like,
how? I don't get it.
Neither do I. And I looked over at Dan, I'm like, did you cry? He's like, a little bit. So my other niece, Chloe, is like, I cried really hard at the Wild Robot. I'm like, so did I, kid. So did I. We're clearly related.
Well, to be on full disclosure, a few weeks before VIF, I started a prescription of Lexapro. So I have not, like, tears are a hard thing for me to come by more recently. Now that the anti-anxiety has fully taken hold or whatever. So to get tears out of me, you have to fucking work hard. So the fact that I really teared up so much between Memoir of a Snail, The Wild Robot, My Old Ass, that the fact that I teared up so much has to be a testament to the quality of the films, in my opinion.
I love,
and for the record, two of those are animated. Just saying.
Yeah.
I love how when I saw Dan at VIF, he asked me how the VIF movies were, and I'm like, oh, so he said, oh, did you see Wild Robot? I'm like, no, Dan, I'm at VIF. I haven't seen Wild Robot. He's like, well, that movie's really good. I'm like, all right, Dan, calm down. Enjoy Night Bitch.
Really excitable.
It really is that good.
Enjoy Night Bitch.
It really is that good, though.
Yeah.
Warner hooked me up with a 4K of the Terminator. The original. Nice. Cameron, the ambition and the balls on that dude are still admirable 40 years later. I mean, I can now fully tell what are models and what stop animation. Like the magic is a little bit deteriorated, but his storytelling and his far off storytelling and tying things together, he really did have it. And obvious, like, why wouldn't you give him aliens after watching a rough cut of this film? Like, really, like, it's so like obvious. Like, if you're a studio guy, you're like, yeah, let's net this guy up for sure. Yeah.
But also, like, the ball, like, it was amazing to me that Arnold Schwarzenegger played the baddie too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like
a guy that you strap a rocket on as a good guy and send him to the moon. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for him, bare ass Arnie to be his like that, his first moment on screen and looking over L.A. early 80s L.A. like bare ass. It's just like, look at this fucking specimen of a dude. Like, I was a fan of his when I was a kid. And I, as an adult, I still get it. Like, it didn't deteriorate at all.
And punk Bill Paxton at the beginning.
Oh, my God. In the beginning, too. So yeah. Good. Oh yeah, that's a great scene. hanging out at the observatory, like you do, like a bunch of punks would. We like astronomy and stuff. Fuck, I forget. There was somebody else with him too. That's
it's Flea from Red Hot Chili.
Oh Podcast. Yeah.
Right. Right. And then there's the quick scene with Dick Miller. No, it's Brian Thompson. He was the villain in the Cobra with Sylvester Stallone, the film where he cuts pizza with scissors.
Jesus Christ.
Was it Adrian Colbretti? No, I don't think it's Adrian. Something. It was a girl's name. Ashley Colbretti or something like that. Juror number two, and I'm sure Bill has stuff to say about this one as well. This is Clint Eastwood's exit stage left for his career, and such a bland and mediocre and boring and a film that feels like a slow, boring slide to an inevitable finish, because nothing about this film is shocking or a twist or anything like that.
But was it going to be like, none of it suggests that from the trailer.
I guess. I don't know. I never even watched a trailer for it, if I'm being honest. Clint hasn't interested me in a very, very, very long time. So anytime any of his stuff came out, I would have like Jersey Boys nightmares and stuff. or the 1517 to Paris.
Oh,
reliving shit like so that. Bad. Like, I just... And I feel kind of bad for like all pretty much everybody in this film, because it is so bland and mediocre, but you know they all did it to work with Clint. Because I mean, it's solid, like solid performers. Nicholas Holt's great. Tony Collette, I love. Chris Messina, I really like. Kiefer Sutherland has a really small role in this one. Like, there's a bunch of stuff that like is great, but like, I don't know. Like, even like Nicholas Holt and Zoe Dutch have like the blandest relationship alive. It feels like it's just this whole thing just feels like a hollow nothing burger.
Just throw more shit into the script. Like, he has a drinking problem and all this. It's just like, oh my God. This is like a genetically mutated perfect film for your father. Your father will love this film.
Yeah.
It's absolutely. Just so.
Wait, is there a lot of swearing?
No, not really.
And no, my maybe dad is like not two or three
words. Two or three words at most, maybe.
It's just such a low bar for this film. It's not good. Don't worry. Warner doesn't care if you see it.
No, they literally do not give a shit about this movie. It was going to go to Max originally. They decided to give it a small theatrical thing, and now it's just going to Max anyway by mid-December. So
yeah, like it played in 50 theaters for a week and then disappears until Christmas Day when it opens up on Max. It's pretty nothing. Your parents will love it.
And every time I see Gabriel Basso, I'm gonna punch JD Vance in the face. I mean, I really just want to punch JD Vance in the face anyway, but Gabriel Basso just kind of feels it even more. Okay, let's get it over with. I'm probably gonna land the highest of anybody on this one. I didn't hate Wicked. I did not hate it. The fact that they actually had some, that they decided to make some lavish sets, have some real art direction, not rely completely on green screen, had on-set singing. And I don't like musicals at all, but the fact that they did on-set singing and had probably two of the most powerful singers alive right now. I didn't know about Cynthia Erivo's voice before this film. I knew Ariana Grande's, and her first song in this film, like the finale on it, I was like, whoa. Like, I even said in theaters, I was like, holy shit. Like, I was like, fucking wow. And then Cynthia Erivo, she fucking owns every moment she's on screen in this film, because she is fucking powerful. She commands that film. And as much as I dislike musicals, maybe it was the fact that I took a good sized gummy before it and it just hit at exactly the right fucking time. But I like watching Jeff Goldblum sing and dance around. Like, it was Jeff Goldblum and Bowen Yang. I just like that guy's face. So every time he's on screen, I'm like, you're fun in a bitchy, cunty sort of way, and I enjoy that.
Yeah. Goddamn. No.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't hate this film. I came out on the good side of it. It's egregiously way too long. Way too long. I can't believe that at the end of all of this, that both movies together, an adaptation of a Broadway musical, is going to be like 5.5 fucking hours. Fucking crazy shit. I apologies to anybody's sensibilities, but I wasn't as full of hatred for this movie as I thought it would be.
I actually thought it was maybe the worst film I'd seen this year until the final act, and I actually kind of liked the final act. When they get to Oz, I think it's actually a pretty damn good film. Just think the rest of it's unwatchable crap. I think Ariana Grande is miscast. Her operatic singing drove me nuts every time she opened her mouth. Cynthia Erivo is awesome.
Yeah.
Without her, the movie is even more unwatchable. She keeps it going. Everybody is so fucking mean in this film. It drives me nuts.
Because I wasn't really even a huge fan of Harriet. I know it was critically lauded at the time, but I didn't think it was a fantastic movie. Nothing really stuck with me about it. And she's kind of very supporting in Widows. And that's kind of the only things I really know her from. So this was like a crash course in Cynthia Erivo woman from everything that I see that takes herself very, very, very fucking seriously.
The entire first hour of the film is just people shitting on Cynthia Erivo's character.
Yeah. It's bullying the movie.
It sucks. it really sucks. And then there's a redemption angle for Galinda, which just comes out of nowhere. And all of a sudden they're best friends. It's like stepbrothers. I don't know.
It's what I remember from the book. Like, it's not that far fetched from source material.
Doesn't mean it's well written.
We expected it to be.
No, I did not. As long as
the songs are good.
But at the same time, as I said, like the Defying Gravity song is really good. The ending is really good. It's just, you know, I was expecting one of them to say something about fetch. Like, it was just so annoying. I think it's one of the worst films of the year. I'm sorry. I just do. And if it wasn't for that last act, it would have got 0 stars.
Yikes.
I only got one more. It's out on Friday on Disney Plus, Beetle 64. David Tesserich is the director on it, but he basically co-directs with Scorsese, who is mostly known for doing either The Band or the Rolling Stones documentaries or related things in that sense, unless you count the George Harrison Living in the Material World. But this is just a focused look at the Beatles' first tour in the United States, which I think is a very interesting watch coming off of watching like Get Back, which is like the end of the Beatles. So to see when they were still discovering and still precocious and still lads, you know, I think it's really, really interesting, especially as a person that loves the Beatles as much as I do. So I really, really dug it. I feel like really only diehards are going to kind of seek this out. So those people really enjoy it. And that's the last thing I watched.
Awesome.
Besides Dune Prophecy, which I'm liking so far.
There's only been one episode, right?
Yeah. The second, I when I started recording with you guys, I'd watched the first 15 minutes of episode 2. So,
yeah, we're going to catch
the Bene Gesserit.
I don't know that I got to say, I was undersold in the first half of that episode 1. I was like,
but the last 5 minutes are like,
the last half I thought was pretty strong, but it starts off a little rocky. But the production design on that thing is just chef's kiss.
It's Emma Watson and Olivia Williams. I'm like, fuck yes. Just
agreed.
Give me all of it. And then Mark Strong and Travis Fimmel and Mark Addy's in there.
It's actually like not bad. If you told me like after Vikings that he was going to have a career, I was going to be like, are you sure about that? He's not great.
I wanted more from the girl who was in that Netflix show, The End of the Fucking World. Was that what it's called?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The one who invented the shouting, Bene Gesserit shouting. So that scene ruled. So
the young Valda. Emily Watson's character, which is really great casting.
Yeah.
What's her name? Jessica Bowden.
Yeah, yeah. Jessica Bowden. Yeah,
because she was in that. She did a movie last year, the year before. It was like a small indie film where she was the lead.
Was it the Canadian? Was it called New Romantic? That one. That one was really good.
That one's good.
Bill with another Canadian film recommendation.
I told you, I'm the king of Canadian films.
It's true. He's been sending me texts all the time, and remember every day, remember I am the king of Canadian media. What the fuck is her name?
In my critics group, we had to vote for the best British Columbia film, and I put 5 films down.
Oh shit.
What?
I am the king of Canadian film.
That's amazing. the film that I'm thinking of is called Holler. It came out in 2020.
I think I saw that one.
Written, directed by Nicole Regal. Yeah, really good. It's her and Austin Amelio from Hitman. Yeah, really, really good. Good. Pamela Adelon's in it too. So,
oh, nice.
Recommended.
I only have like I think, three other things, so I'll go next. So I saw Lee with Kate Winslet about Elizabeth Miller, the war photographer. Really, really great performance from Kate Winslet and Andy Samberg in a surprising role. I was like, what? For those that don't know, I'm a huge Andy Samberg fan. But like, I enjoyed it, but I don't know. It also felt kind of bland.
Have you seen the actor, the real person that Andy Samberg is playing?
I saw pictures of him after the fact.
Yeah.
It's uncanny. Like,
wow, that's actually really good casting.
It's uncanny. It is very uncanny. Clearly, pretty much everybody in the movie is like a real person or based on a real person. Yeah. I've seen a couple of interviews of Kate Winslet. Like, I think what I appreciate more about the movie is the fact that Winslet, like, for years has been trying to get this made, and she like finally got it done, like in her own way. Like, she wasn't waiting for a studio to give her money. She cobbled this thing together. It's her vision. She knew enough to have somebody else take the reins of the direction. And overall, I think it's actually a pretty good movie. I don't know if I expected more. Like, I don't really know how I feel about it. I think it was well done. Winslet's fantastic. It just felt kind of, I don't know, underwhelming in some way.
The first third of that movie is really good.
Oh,
like, I really like the first bit of that film.
And there are some like amazing scenes, like like the whole thing, that whole Auschwitz thing was just like unnerving. The Hitler house was just fucking crazy. Like, there's just like these little tidbits, there's scenes that are like super amazing. Just overall, I don't know if maybe I just wasn't really in the mood for it or what it was, but I kind of wanted a little bit more. But I can still appreciate the fact that it's a really powerful story, and Winslet's just amazing. Like, completely owns the role, totally natural. She's fantastic. Like, we already knew that, but she's so good here. I saw Smile 2, which is kind of fucking amazing. Like,
oh, we said it last episode.
I was going to watch it anyways, but after the last time, I'm like, okay, got to put this up on the list. And holy shit, that opening scene, like the credit sequence is like, holy crap, they went there. And it's so good. Like, so good. I'm like, that's ballsy. I am in for it. I was so impressed. I think I like this more than both of you.
That's cool.
I still listen to the soundtrack, so.
Oh, it is so good.
I like Naomi Scott's songs in it.
Yeah, she is fantastic. I mean, Parker Finn is doing stuff that I was just like, holy crap. Like, I did not see some of that coming.
The banquet scene is so fucking great. So great.
If you're going to do it, go for it. But it's
It's like one of those scenes where you know where it's going, but it's so much fun in getting there that, it's really great. Especially where old lady keeps positioning herself on the stage. You're like, no, this is going to go badly.
Well, he does it with such gusto and with such such control. Like, he knows exactly what he's doing, and he just delivers every time. I'm just so impressed. And the funny thing is, like, I couldn't remember if I'd seen the first movie. Like, I honestly couldn't. I don't remember anything about the first movie. I saw it. I rated it. Do I remember any of it? No. Am I going to remember this one? Probably. Like, I still cannot get over. I just kind of want to rewatch that opening 5 minutes just on repeat for a while, because it is just so gloriously twisted.
And the movie's so mean-spirited. It's totally. So mean.
Like,
relentlessly mean, especially with the best friend that she fucked the relationship up with. They're so relentlessly mean with her in particular. And it's it's like, fuck. Like, you get to that final scene, you're just like, okay, let's just give yourself over to it. It's fine.
Yeah.
You got such a bad life now. It's fine.
The cool thing about it is that the gimmick works so well that we're going to be getting like a lot of these films, and I'll watch them all. It's just a fun gimmick.
Yeah. They at least have one more for me.
Yeah.
If they can keep it going.
This is it. Like, as long as I think that if, you know, he manages to keep this quality of filmmaking, because clearly, like, this is a step up from the first one. And it's actually like super interesting. Like the concept actually works. The setting it in like the world of a pop star, I think, was kind of genius. Yeah. That whole thing when she's on stage, like losing her mind, and everybody's like, what, like the crowd is like, not, they have no idea what's happening. I'm like, this is kind of amazing.
And yeah. plus, once again, where's like Steve's Golden Globe for picking that ending?
It's recorded, all right? It's recorded before the release of the movie.
It is.
And
it
didn't get, like, I am not in contact with Paramount at all. I have no way to have seen this film before, but I fucking called that shit. Parker, we gotta talk. We gotta talk.
Maybe for the third one.
Yeah, I got ideas, buddy.
And finally, I watched Spellbound, which is Vicky Jensen's new film, which landed on Netflix on Friday. So this is the first of Netflix's animated holiday offerings. They've got so much stuff coming. It's kind of ridiculous. What I didn't realize about this is it's a story about divorce, which is interesting. It's really, really interesting. I'm not quite sure where in the marketing they finally decided to tell people that this was a musical. Like, it's scored by Alan Menken, who's won, I don't even know how many Oscars at this point. He did The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast. So he's like a known quantity. And the songs are pretty good. They're not The Little Mermaid good, but they're not bad. The movie just doesn't have the rewatch value of some of those classic Disney movies. I think there was a lot of tinkering over the years because Vicky Jensen's been working on this for a long, 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 long time. I wish it was more visually interesting. Like, the character design is interesting, but like visually it looks like super polished and kind of like all the other CG movies. So I don't know. The music is okay. Rachel Zegler is fantastic. She can really sing. Nicole Kidman proves again, once again, that yes, she can still sing. Javier Bardem is terrible. You should never sing. And it's John Lithgow and Nathan Lane are just kind of like hilarious in these little roles. It's fine. I don't know. It's okay. I mean, my niece is not going to care for it. It's a little too, I don't know. It's not fun enough, I don't think, for young kids. So I'm not quite sure who the audience is either. It's definitely not Shrek. So I don't know. I'm very undecided. I thought it was fine. Like, I don't really know what else to say about it. I wish I liked it more.
I hadn't been on Netflix in a while, and I turned it on, you know, open up the menu, and I'm looking through the new stuff, and it's just like Spellbound. I don't know what that is, and look around. I'm like, what is Hot Frosty?
Oh, so bad, dude. Don't do it.
Oh, it's no. So bad. Dustin Milligan.
And I saw Dustin Milligan. I'm like, I've seen him in so many Canadian films.
Schitt's Creek.
And he's just ripped. And I'm just like, good on you, dude.
Yeah. But this is it. He is just ripped. Like, the movie is so fucking bad.
I know. Like, I turned it on and I watched like 10 minutes of it.
Why?
And
this is what you get when you get everybody killed in Final Destination 3. This
is what happens. He looks, I mean, I full admission, he takes his shirt off in the preview, and I was like, okay.
Then he cleans his laundry on it.
Oh, it's so bad. Oh, that movie is so bad. Like, there are bad, like, Hallmark movies on Netflix. This is worse than the worst of them. It is so awful.
Another movie I'll never watch.
You're not missing out on anything. Yeah, so good. I did start, there's a new one, the Merry Gentleman, I think it's called. That one has actually got potential. I'm like 20 minutes in, and I'm actually loving it. Is that
the Chad Michael Murray one?
It is the Chad Michael Murray one. And let me when did he get hot? I don't know when this happened.
When he stopped being floppy.
Listen, I have no idea. I saw a preview. I saw him doing something on Instagram, and I was like, when did he get good looking? Like, I don't remember this from when he was like 18. So, I don't know. But I literally started it yesterday, and I'm on the plane. Way home. And I'm like, this is actually not bad. This actually has potential. I'll report back next episode. And that's all.
So then I shut Hot Frosty off, and then I watched like 20 minutes of Emilia Perez and remembered how much I hated the music in it and turned it off.
I still haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm actually surprised at the warm reception that that's getting. I didn't expect it. Like, I didn't know really what to expect about with that movie because it's so strange. But I was genuinely surprised to see how many people are actually enjoying it. I'm like, oh, maybe it does have legs. Maybe they know something I didn't, clearly.
Yeah, who knows?
That's all I got.
That's all you got? That's all I got. I'll go next. Why not? So I saw Real Pain. Two cousins go to Poland to, because their aunt, her grandmother died, and she left them some money in her will to take a trip to her homeland and find out about her life. And it's not the movie I thought it was going to be. I thought it was just going to be Kieran Culkin going wild the whole movie. The whole movie is really subtle. It's the Kieran Culkin performance is really incredible, and Jesse Eisenberg is actually really good in it too. But these two guys are just really kind of broken, and throughout the film they just get progressively more broken. And they're on a tour of like scenes around Poland, and one of the people on the tour is Jennifer Grey.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, welcome back.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
It was like wrestling. We should have yelled out, welcome back. that was for Steve. It's a pretty good movie. It really kind of it sticks the ending, and it was really subtle. I really liked it. I can understand why people are really saying Kieran Culkin could be an Oscar winner this year. The only problem with Kieran Culkin is he was also really good on this television show, and we all kind of had the expectations out of him. And he's a totally different character in this film, and it kind of was weird. He's not Roman. It was weird, but I totally got with it after a while, and it's a really good film. I really liked it. I saw The Real Showgirl.
The last showgirl. I have my screener for that. I'm excited for it.
The new Gia Coppola film with Pamela Anderson in the lead, with Jamie Lee Curtis and Dave Bautista wearing the greatest wig I've ever seen in my life. His hair is flowing. It's wonderful. Awesome. Kieran Shipka's in it. Brenda Song's in it. About this, showgirls in Vegas is like a dying thing. Like everything is closing down, and this is like the last company in Vegas. And the whole movie is it's just them trying to continue doing this thing that you know is just going to be done by the end of the film. And it's an all right film. The acting is good. I just didn't think it was that great. I think a lot of people are saying it's an Oscar thing for Pam Anderson, and I don't get it. If anything, Jamie Lee Curtis was better. And if anything is going to get out of that film, it's her. Watch it, because Pam's actually good. She's just not great. It's fine. It's just I don't think this is the big Oscar film they think it's going to be, which is too bad. And I saw the new Paul Schrader film, O Canada.
I'm waiting for my screener for that one.
Never thought I'd see a biopic from Paul Schrader, but here we go. It's really well acted. It's just, I hate biopics. They're just so generic. And I hate this. I always say this, and Marina always corrects me. I always say there is no good biopics ever made. None. And then she says Control. And I said, yes, you're right, Marina. You're right. Richard Gere is really good in this film. And Uma Thurman's really good. And Michael Imperioli is really good. And Jacob Elordi's really good. And Caroline Davernass is in that film. And I love Caroline Davernass. Yeah,
I like her too. Passchendaele, except for that movie. Canadian cinema, am I right, Bill?
Yeah, totally. I agree, sir. Wonder Falls Army Unite. It's good. It's just I just don't like biopics. People might like it, but and plus after the streak that Schrader's been on lately, I kind of expected more from this. He's been pretty awesome lately, and I think this is just a good film.
I'm just glad to see Richard Gere getting some love, because I feel like he's been kind of shunned for 30 years. Like, when was the last time Richard Gere was okay to talk about? I don't know. I've always been a fan. So I'm glad to see him like on a winning streak.
I'm guessing Chicago?
Probably.
Won Best Picture.
But he didn't get any love.
No, he didn't.
No, he never does. No. It's been a long time since he has. And he's really, really good in general.
And my last film, I always like a little bit of trash. I watched the remake, or whatever reimagining of the film, Street Trash.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
I've heard nothing good.
The opening credit says, Street Trash, a Ryan Kruger thing. He calls his movie a thing. Okay, whatever, dude. So imagine a film like the early Blomkamp ones, like Chappie and stuff like that, you know, South African tales, and they're like very specific, like people rising up with really shitty violence, like practical effects that look like they cost about $2 to make. Oh, and the whole movie is people like getting this stuff injected into them, and they kind of like disintegrate, and it's, I could do better effects than this. And it's not good.
The source material is not that strong to begin with.
No, it's totally not. But it's
Street Trash is a terrible movie.
It's not good, but you know, good for trying. You know, I applaud people for trying things, but this isn't very good. And once again, I'd rather you watch Terrifier 3 than this. And I hated Terrifier 3. Okay, that's it for me. I didn't watch a lot. So that's about it.
Well, okay. I can't say my list is super long either. So I'll start with My Old Ass, which I also loved.
Yay.
And also made me ugly cry. In the scene with the two Elliots and Chad, I lost it.
Right?
It really...
Oh, when he asked for a hug?
Yeah.
It's so funny, too, because I'm like the president of the I Hate Aubrey Plaza fan club, and this movie kind of changed my mind.
She's been changing my mind for a while.
Black Bear.
Yeah, she's
been great. And Ingrid Goes West.
Yeah,
there was another one that I remember from last year or the year before where she plays she's like a hustler, and she, like, at the end of the movie, she starts her business.
Oh, yeah.
Emily the Criminal. Emily that movie's awesome.
Yeah.
That was really good.
The one where I was like, okay, I'm on the other side of I Hate Aubrey Plaza.
Tension just boiling. That's the whole so movie good. Is just a slow, so it's just a pressure cooker of a film. That's a great one. And the one that she did with her husband, the Nun movie.
Oh, I did not like
that wasn't good.
No, I did not care for that either.
She's also really good in Megalopolis. Am I right, Melissa? Am I right?
I will get to that.
Hold your horses, Bill.
Hold on. Yeah. Are you talking about the star of the film, Wow Platinum? Fuck's sake.
But yeah, My Old Ass was really, I wish that they had given it a better title, to be honest. Like, I think this title is going to turn a lot of people off.
I agree.
And the synopsis when you read it to people is like, the fuck?
It's weird though. Like, it's a lot of people I have, it's on Amazon, right?
Amazon Prime.
And friends of mine have been like, have you seen this film, My Old Ass? I watched it on Amazon. I'm like, dude, you know that I watch everything. Of course I've watched it. They're like, that movie is so surprising. And I'm like, I know. I've seen it.
Yeah, I just I wish that they had given it a better title, because I think it would find its audience better with
Agreed.
Something else. But it's just so lovely in that whole like balance of what you can learn from your younger self and what your younger self could have learned from your older self. Mm-hmm. Like it's so beautifully done, that film, I think. I haven't had like an ugly cry at a movie in a long time. And that one absolutely, like that scene just wrecked me. Absolutely.
My only complaint of the film is I wish they had explained what was going on in Aubrey Plaza's timeline.
I kind of wish
too ambiguous.
That too.
Too ambiguous. Yeah, I love the siren.
Yeah.
And the panic.
And like the food, she's like, oh, I missed this. I'm just like, yeah. Why are you missing this? Yeah, yeah, good film.
Yeah. And then to pivot to a shitty movie, watched Deadpool and Wolverine finally on Disney Plus. The only good thing about that movie is the dog.
Congratulations, Musa. I mean, me and you are the only we've now made it 2-2. I think the other two liked it and we disliked it. So there we go.
If we rewind, I did not love that movie. Let's
okay. I'm the only
3-1. 3-1.
Yeah, 3-1. It's the only me. Well, it's only me.
Listen, I mean, it's no Gladiator 2. I'll say that. At least this one there it was made for an audience, and it was there was a lot of fan service in this movie, and that's fine.
Do we? Because I had my boss tell me that he respected me less because I said Substance is like my favorite film of the year. And he's like, oh, I have a little less respect. Do we come out of this podcast with, have I got a little bit shaved off the top now, or am I still okay?
No, you're still okay.
I know, that jarred me. I'm like, you must respect for me.
I'm just like waiting for your top five though, Steve, because I feel like every movie we've watched in a while, like for a while, has been like, well, this is my favorite movie now.
Well, no, right now. I'm having the Sophie's Choice right now of top three being Saturday Night, The Substance, or Anora right now. They're battling out right now. And then everything else kind of has to settle around that. But if we remember back, my half year is not even in the equation anymore, which was Furioso was my number one. So that's not even in the equation anymore. It's three other films. So, And I don't see anything really coming through except for Nosferatu to knock that pedestal.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that. Yeah. Okay, next on my list, I revisited an American Werewolf in London, which I hadn't watched in a really long time. Still love that movie so much. It's still Rick Baker's movie, like hands down. It's his movie. The makeup and the effects are fantastic. I still love the transition scene. Like, it's just so good. I love David Naughton. Like, I'm also surprised that he wasn't in more stuff after this, because he was so good. Like, he was so good in this movie. And I love Griffin Dunne. Like, I just love the best friend character and like how he deteriorates through the course of the movie. It's just so good. And like, and also the porno movie that's playing in like the end sequence when they're in the porno theater is just one of the most hilariously bad movies within a movie of all time. Like, it's just so funny. It's just such a masterpiece, American Werewolf in London. It's on Amazon Prime, so if people are looking for it, they can find it pretty easily. And I watched the turd that is Gladiator 2, which is definitely my worst movie of the year and one of the worst movies I've ever watched. I pivoting back to good. I also caught up with Alien Romulus finally, which I really dug this movie. Actually, it was fun. I felt like it was a decent addition to the franchise. There have been a lot of shitty movies in the franchise, and this one was okay for me. I like Kaylee Spaney a lot. It looked cool. I loved the Andy character. I thought he was great. And I got a real kick out of the zero gravity scene.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Yes. Validation.
How come nobody thought about this before? Like, how come we haven't seen this zero gravity idea? We're dealing with alien blood.
This is a high five over the internet.
Right.
Melissa, right here, right now.
It was fun. Is it brilliant? No. Is it earth-shattering? No. But like, when was the last time there was a good alien movie? Just this one. So like, come on. It was fun.
Definitely wasn't Ridley doing it twice.
No, it really was not.
I'm going to come back to it. Oh, great. No, I'm going to fuck it up. How about everybody runs from a giant donut in a straight line? How about we fly our ship into the ship? Because fuck it, let's die.
Oh,
I'm thinking that we're gonna have to do a separate show when Ridley actually puts out his director's cut of Gladiator 2.
Oh god, it's like 7 hours.
I won't watch it. I will not watch it. No. Also, tell me how this one wasn't the director's cut.
I have not watched the director's cut of Napoleon yet either. So
no interest. No interest.
Nope, zero.
The only one of Ridley Scott's director's cuts that I've liked is Kingdom of Heaven.
Kingdom of Heaven. Yeah.
Because that movie is legitimately amazing.
Yeah.
Like that director's cut is genuinely great. Yeah. And that movie is genuinely great. But yeah. Well,
it's because the writer, when he was, what was the writer that he made that with? They were a really great team. And as soon as they separated, they just started writing this David Scarpa and other fucking idiots jumped on board and fucking.
I swear to God, though, they had to have used ChatGPT for that movie. Like, I can't figure it out any other way. But disclaimer, there's no proof that they used AI in the writing of that movie. It's just a personal feeling that I have because I can't believe that any human artist would stoop that low. Anyway, just to round things out and to go back to another white guy, old director who's probably a bit past his prime and is way too obsessed with the Roman Empire. I also saw Megalopolis today. Woo-woo!
Oh boy. And how how quickly into that movie were you waiting for it to end?
I guess the whole time I just kind of sat there wondering, like, okay, where are you going with this, Francis?
Nowhere. Utopia. That's ugly. Ugly utopia.
Well, and also, like, so your utopia is just, like, people can have discussions about stuff? Like, that's your version of utopia? Like, and as a political message, this one's really not there. Like, I do, like, there's some stuff that I appreciate. Like, I appreciate the, like, kind of over-the-top, possibly satire. Sorry, did I cut out there for something?
No.
Okay. I appreciate that this was, like, a bit satirical and, like, a bit of a takedown of, like, the what we're watching in real time is the decline of the American Empire. but that's about as much appreciation as I could find in this movie. I don't know what Adam Driver is doing the whole time.
Pausing time for some reason.
Yeah, like I didn't get it. I mean, I didn't get it.
And Natalie Emmanuel is drowning on screen every time she's there. She's just, even in a scene with John Voight, she's just fucking drowning.
But it's also, she's incredibly poorly written. Like, what do you
know? Yeah. Oh, so bad. There's not a single woman that's written well in that movie.
No. I mean, that's my biggest problem with this is, like, here's your big satirical takedown of American Empire, and you're still like, the women are nothing characters. This is all about great men. Great men, other great men. And I don't know. It felt a bit like a lot of wasted effort and a lot of wasted money. But
and Shia LaBeouf was there.
Shia LaBeouf was there in a completely different movie, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's like he got the script and he's like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah,
he's and like, then John Voight is like, look at my boner. Like, there's just like, there's so much.
You guys
wrong.
Are so not selling this and thing. Like,
no.
I'm kind of like, why? Like, should I just not
it's
even
hard to sell it? It's hard to sell it, but I feel like I said in our group chat, I feel like if you're a movie goer, that more than a casual, more than a regular, I feel like you do kind of need to see this one so you can experience. Also, because I'm so curious on what people come out the other side with, you know, I mean, what they're thinking of, what they glommed onto at the end of it, what is going to be their most, what's going to stick with them? Because there is going to be something that sticks with you out of this movie. Like, it's terrible. It's awful. And it shouldn't stick with you, but he's just got so much grandiose ambition with this film that never comes to anything that I'm curious. I'm always curious.
That's the thing. I think he's trying to parse together a whole bunch of ideas, but he hasn't fully worked them out and he hasn't figured out how to connect them to each other.
Well, And he's,
yeah, I don't know. It feels really disjointed and disorienting. And it's like you just let a bunch of people kind of ad lib a bunch of shit in the room. And then some of it worked okay and some of it really did not work at all. And you put all of it into the movie anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he's been working on it for decades too. And some of those ideas have aged really badly, but he still pushed on with them. Like even in his like production design, a lot of it looks like mid-90s shit. Like even his Utopia, it looks like there's a bunch of fun slides everywhere. Like what the fuck is going on with your your idea?
There's nothing in the Utopia, which is also hilarious to me. It's like this is supposed to be this big thing where that he's making like some kind of commentary about democracy. And in the end, like his Utopia is like without human beings in it.
Yeah. There's probably like 100 people. Like gather, like when he's like doing his big speech, there's like probably 100 people looking up and stuff. And it's like nothing.
Well, yeah. And like, you know, apparently the point is supposed to be something about how like societal structures let down humans. But it's like, I don't know that you're.
It's not clear. Like, he has no single clear moral or thought in this film.
This movie is letting down humans too, Francis.
Well, he let down his own family.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least he put his own money where his mouth is. Like he wanted to get this thing made. He didn't go, you know, basking around Hollywood asking for handouts. He
sure he did, but no one wanted to give him any money for it.
This is it. So he does what others should do.
Yeah.
Put your money where your mouth is. You want to make the thing and say the thing that you want to say.
Yeah. Like M. Night Shyamalan does.
Oh, come on.
Doesn't mean we need to
hurt
it.
Me again on this podcast.
Yeah. No.
But one nice thing I will say about this movie is I love Talia Shire, and she deserves to be in other stuff. And it shouldn't just be family shit. People should actually cast her and stuff because she's actually great. She's the best part of this movie, in my opinion.
I never would have thought Catherine Hunter and Giancarlo Esposito would be close enough in age to be considered a married couple as well. I was like, it's a little like, whoa, weird. But yeah, I don't know what Francis was thinking. He burnt his entire winery and inheritance. Like I Sophia's fine. I'm sure she's fine. I'm sure she doesn't care.
I'm
she's
sure the family money. Is fine.
She's got enough money. Gia, I don't know, according to Bill's review, Gia might want something. And I'm sure Roman probably wants some money. So
well, he co-wrote this thing with Papa
That's why I'm sure Roman would probably like some money.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll all live.
What I don't
you owe me, Dad. I wrote your shit movie.
I don't get how people like have this as their number one film of the year.
I'm not friends with anyone that says that.
I know, but you see it. Like people have this.
Personally not. I'm scared to meet that person now, Bill. You've given me a new ick for 2024.
Can I say
I could stay friends with someone who had this as their number one movie. I couldn't stay friends with someone who had Gladiator fucking 2 as their
one. You're going to find that person before you find a Megalopolis person.
Probably. Can I say that shifting to a more positive note, I don't watch a lot of cable TV, but Dan and I watch Law and Order pretty religiously now. And it's because of this cast. Like the show is like actually really good. Whoever is writing the new Law and Order, kudos to them. It's timely. It's interesting. There's a lot of things and a lot of issues that they're tackling on a like a weekly basis. Super impressed.
Okay, on a related note, I watched the first episode of Interior Chinatown, which is really good.
It's good. It's
Jimmy O Yang, Ronnie Chang, and there's some very fun Law and Order callbacks that I think you would appreciate, Marina.
I also really dig the line "Know your Asians." it's a really funny line, and the way that Ronnie Chang says it's really great. And I like Archie Kao a lot, and he's got a small part in it. So
fantastic.
That's a good series. Charles Wu and Taika directs most of it, I think.
Yeah.
Taika Waititi. Yeah. It's got that flow to it.
Oh, so it's not that short film that he's got on Disney with the little octopus thing.
No. It's in addition to that.
Oh God.
It's based on a novel.
Yeah.
And the writer of the novel actually wrote the scripts for the show. So it's,
I think he's the showrunner as well. Cause him and Taika are the executive producers.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Please tell me there are more movie choices that are worth our time.
I
think depending on if I get it, I would say Queer or September 5 if I can get them.
September 5 got delayed.
Oh, bummer. I just saw the trailer for it and I was like, oh boy, John Majero. I mean,
yeah, that and Better Man also got delayed too.
Better Man, I don't know where they are because I saw a trailer for it before Gladiator 2. It's the first time I watched that trailer with a big audience. And then when it was all quiet between, I heard multiple voices, but who the fuck is Robbie Williams?
Oh,
this is what the age we're in, though, guys. I kind of saw it coming, too, though. I really kind of did.
My best trailer reaction of the week was before Wicked. They played the live action How to Train Your Dragon trailer, and somebody yelled out, really? At the end of it, because it looks terrible.
But it's Chris Saunders as well, though.
Like, no, it's Dean DeBlatt.
The same guy that did all of the movies, though, right?
No. So Chris Saunders did How to Train Your Dragon. He did The Wild Robot. So Dean DeBlois is now doing the live action version of How to Train Your Dragon.
Okay.
But is that the kid from The Black Phone?
Yes.
Because I really liked him in The Black Phone a lot.
Yeah. And I like Nico Parker, who plays Astrid. And I like her a lot, too. So,
I mean, they'd have to go really, really, really off the story for it not to work. I mean, How to Train Your Dragon is pretty perfect. Yeah. Like, that movie is really, really good.
Is really good.
Yeah, like, the source material is excellent. So, I mean, you'd have to really fuck it up to fuck it up. And Dean DeBlois, I think, is a fairly solid filmmaker, and he's worked with Chris in the past. So, storytelling-wise, I think that it's there. Whether they can deliver a live-action version that's good, I don't know. I was underwhelmed by the trailer.
Yeah, me too. November 27th, Moana 2.
I decided not to go, and it's funny, I picked a rock movie to watch instead of it. I'm going to see Red 1, which is going to be terrible, but whatever.
You made the wrong choice. I haven't seen either, but I
just don't want to be the only
made the wrong choice.
I don't want to be an adult male by myself seeing Moana 2. That is the real reason.
Listen,
I would get away with it with Red 1, which is the only other movie playing in theaters right now that I haven't seen.
That's really funny because the reason we're recording this on a Sunday night is because we're going to a screening tomorrow and I'm dragging Dan to see it with one of the nieces. So it's the only reason Dan is going because he has no choice. I'm not quite sure he's excited, but.
Pablo Larraín is back with Maria.
I don't know if I'm going to be getting that. I'm excited for it too, though.
It's theatrical on the 27th Netflix. It's on Netflix on December 11th.
I thought it was MUBI.
No, it's Netflix.
Yeah, it's weird. Netflix.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, they got big plans for Angelina Jolie for this film for Oscar. Yeah,
they do.
So
the trailer is pretty spectacular.
Yeah, and Lorraine's awesome.
Oh,
yeah,
I do like Lorraine.
Yeah, but I don't know if this is actually going to open theatrically anywhere other than like probably New York and LA. So we'll probably have to wait for Netflix. Queer is theatrical. I don't know if it's limited or wide. The new
Luca's second movie this year.
Daniel Craig doing some stuff, supposedly. I heard
that
it's pretty
trailer.
Explicit.
That trailer is fucking incredible. It's a work of art.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure Steve won't get that one, so we might have to wait a bit from that. Seed of the Sacred Fig opens. I saw it at VIFF. I quite liked it, other than it gets a little wacky at the end.
I have access to that one, so I could watch that one.
It's really good. But yeah, it's going to be a big Oscar film. Beetle 64, Steve saw it, said it's good. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait to see that. December the 6th. I've seen this one. I know Marina's seen it too. Ladies and gentlemen, Night Bitch.
I have not seen it yet. I would like to see it. Hopefully I can see it.
I liked it. I just didn't like the ending.
I like Marielle Heller a lot. So
I thought the buildup was really good. Amy Adams is really good. It just doesn't know what the fuck it's doing at the end. And Marina's shaking her head.
I love Amy Adams. I'll leave it at that.
All right. Probably my worst film of the year, and I only saw an hour of it. The End opens. Melissa saw the whole thing. It's terrible.
Josh Oppenheimer.
I know. And he's such a great filmmaker. And this movie sucks.
Okay.
Talk about a movie that about like 15 minutes in, you wonder how, like, when it's going to end. And then it goes on for over 2 hours. Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah.
And another movie I saw at VIFF opens, The Girl with the Needle. It's really damn good.
Yeah. Oh, wait, it actually is opening?
Yeah. Yes. I don't know if, I'm guessing it probably will play in Vancouver. But
yeah, I think it will. I think it will.
But I don't know about Steve's access to it. But no, yeah,
I'll be able to get a screener. Touchwood will give me a screener for it. Sweet. Because they work with Mubi now. So it's a Mubi one. Though they won't, probably will not give me Queer.
Yikes. Which is weird.
Do we have a pick? I will defer to the group. I at this point, I'm just like, whatever. Tell me what to watch.
I'd say Seed of a Sacred Fig or Girl with the Needle.
Okay. One of
those would be my picks.
Okay. Sounds good.
Whatever we can sort out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if anybody can't see Seed of the Sacred Fig, just ask me. That's all I'm going to say.
Right. I wasn't telling at all.
No. I'm actually kind of curious what the other two think of Night Bitch, but I don't know when that's opening anywhere near Steve. So
who's the distributor in Canada? Is it VVS?
I think so. Yeah.
I might be able to get it then because they did give me Woman of the Hour the week of release. So there's a possibility I'll get Night Bitch.
Nice.
So it will be a surprise what our next movie is
going to be. Exactly. Whoa.
But something that premiered at VIFF.
Yeah, something that is and something of substance.
Wait, so after Noma we wanted steered
to? You down. We as Drew, we steered you down the road.
I'm gonna see really Moana 2.
Wait, shit. Noma wanted to? What?
What? You can still watch it and give us your review.
Maybe. Yeah, it'll just be on your list.
I'm watching it. All right,
it'll be on your list.
It's happening.
You guys don't want to do Red One. It wasn't on the list, but I'm just checking.
No, I can't do that after Gladiator 2. Just soul destroying, man. Well,
I think.
Are you scared it might be better?
Well, it will be better. But
are you sure about that? It looks pretty bad. It's snowmen. Seriously,
it's gonna be bad.
These are your baddies, snowmen.
Right now, Gladiator is my floor. Is the floor for me? Like, I just can't. I can't even comprehend a movie being worse than that this year.
I don't know, man. Red One looks pretty bad.
It does. It does. I have regrets. Free regrets.
Isn't that on Amazon in like 2 weeks?
Maybe.
You couldn't have just waited.
I needed to bring something to the show, to me and Chloe's show.
And then the sad part is I will probably eventually see it, but maybe not because I still haven't seen Borderlands. And that's got Kate Blanchett in it.
Yeah.
Guys, did you watch Disclaimer?
No, I've watched the first episode.
Yeah.
It is very, it's very different. Jesus. Very, very, very different.
That show kicked my ass.
Yeah. It's only 6 episodes too, right?
Oh my God. Like 5 and 6 are fucking amazing.
Nice.
Like talk about a show that I did not know where I was going.
And is it Jonas Caron that made that? It's Alfonso's brother or something like
No,
that?
I think it's Alfonso.
No, dude. It's Alfonso.
Is it Alfonso?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 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 Oh, that That's show is Melissa, you need to watch that show.
Is that one? That one's on Apple Plus, right?
Is
that?
It is.
Yeah,
it's really good.
You know what's really funny? Did anybody watch Blitz?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I haven't either. Like, I don't even care. It opened theatrically here, and I didn't care at all either.
Yeah, no, I think it's now on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a Friday,
I think. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I will catch up with it. I just haven't.
Yeah, me too. Seen I yet. Just yeah, yeah. Just didn't have time.
No. I like the first two episodes of Scream, I'm like, well, this is really good. But I'm like, okay, but the last two episodes? Jesus.
I've only seen the first episode, and my friend told me the third episode was really hot. So that's all I know about the show.
Yeah, but then you watch the last two episodes, and that show, I don't want to talk about it until after you guys have seen it, because it definitely does not go where I thought it was going. I didn't see anything about it other than people are like, oh my God, this show is so good. And it deserves the hype. It's very, very good.
Speaking of hype, that final episode of The Penguin. Whoa.
Yeah, that show is the number one of this year for me.
Oh, I would have said that if I hadn't seen Disclaimer.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah. No, it's, Dan and I really enjoyed The Penguin. It was so good. We watched
Silo season two.
The first episode has been great. I haven't seen any more than that yet.
Okay. Yeah.
And can I say, it's the 30th anniversary of Interview with the Vampire. Mm-hmm. And that movie is the shit.
The TV show rules too.
The TV show is great. Jacob Anderson awesome. Is fucking great. I love that they made Lewis a pimp.
That is the epitome of taking material and updating it
and making it fucking work
and making it really, really work.
Yeah,
but I mean,
yeah, I agree.
Neil Jordan's Interview with the Vampire is legitimately a great film. Mm-hmm. And it has been so nice to see the essays on the 30th anniversary. So I was like,
I don't know if I'm in the weird category on this. I really like Byzantium as well.
So do I. I like Neil Jordan. I think he's a great filmmaker. So hey, you and me, high five there.
Well, yeah, hell yes.
Byzantium is fantastic. Yeah, also,
thank you. Underrated, thank you. I think. I also really love Gemma.
Yeah, well, she's
pretty good.
Deep, deep, deep love. Yeah. Memories of disappearance of Alice Creed.
Oh. She's made some stuff.
It seems really like has. Every year, like back in the day, every year at VIFF there was like a British Gemma movie that I always had to go and see because I just had a crush on her.
Was for a number of years that's the truth. That it really was. I haven't seen her in anything in a while.
No, it's been a little bit
now that you mention it. All right, so we will be back in a couple of weeks with a movie and other movies as well. But until then, only one movie. We're only allowed one. Until then, where can folks find you?
I am Bill Harris. I am on Letterboxd at SoundJam69, and I killed my ex Twitter account. So I am on Blue Sky as That Bill Harris. Yes, That Bill Harris. Yeah, and that's about it. Have a good couple weeks.
I am at Melzy on the Letterboxd, Melissa McDowell, and I also killed my Twitter account because fuck Elon Musk, not haven't yet joined Blue Sky, but maybe I will if Bill's there.
Yes.
And so am I, though I haven't actually posted anything. I'm like, I better secure this name.
The skies are blue. I don't know. I had nothing.
So you can find me on Instagram at TheMarina2, on Letterboxd at TheMarina, and also on Blue Sky now at TheMarina. I will eventually post something there, I guess. The pressure of the first. What do you even call it? It's not a tweet. It's a post. The pressure of the first post.
You can find me on Instagram, Letterboxd, Threads, and Blueski at The Steeble Dead. You can also find my website, stevestebbing.ca, and look up my name or The Steeble Dead on YouTube. There you'll find a show called What the Hell Should I Watch that I do with my daughter Chloe every week at 9 a.m. Pacific time. I'm also on Tremble, the horror podcast with Kurt and Taylor. In our last two episodes, we're on Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Oh, so good.
And still holds up. Still holds up. So good. And Psycho 2, which showed that legacy horror was done really good in 1983. before any of the legacy horror that we've gotten now. I contend that Psycho 2 is still a fucking banger of a film.
Yep.
And I'm also on Shane Hewitt and the Night Shift every Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern Time in Toronto's News Talk 1010 on the iHeartRadio network, and then rebroadcast over the weekend. And that's it for me.
I just followed you on Blue Sky.
Yeah, baby.
He was the first person I followed.
Yeah.
I knew he was on Blue Sky. Like, follow Steve. I didn't look for anybody else. Literally, that's all I did. And then I just left it. I opened the account, found Steve, and then that was it. I'm like, I'm done for the day.
Yep.
You can find show notes to everything we talked about today at etcpod.ca and also linked in the show notes. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks. So until next time.
Hack the planet.
Bye.